Begin transmission.
Hello and welcome adventurers to Dungeon Radio Hour, a D&D actual play comedy podcast where all of our druids have an inalienable right to bear arms. As always, I'm your host and dungeon master, Dalton Ruscher Riddle, joined once again by our ragtag band of would-be heroes. Introduce yourself, heroes.
I'm Michael Adair.
I'm Alyssa Adair.
And I'm Andrew Gerline.
Well, boys and girl, this is typically the point in the show where I come up with a witty icebreaker or a fun and engaging game for us all to partake in before we jump into the show. But tonight, you get nothing.
Yay!
No!
Please, sir, but we're so hungry.
We're so hungry for the icebreaker, sir.
Nothing. I got nothing for you.
No love, no smiles, no...
No smiles, no hugs, no love, no... Not even compliments. Not even backhanded ones.
Oh, shit. Wow. I live off of your backhanded compliments.
Yep, you get nothing. So I'm just going to kind of sit here on my end and not say anything. So if you guys just want to sit here in awkward silence, we can.
So Dalton is being very quiet because we conspired earlier. I have had an idea for a long time for a segment, a little segment I like to call Prank Call Corner. Okay? And now there's a theme song, and it's going on. Yeah. It's cool.
Is that Tyler Perry singing that song? I didn't know he sang.
I don't think so. I don't think there are any lyrics. But there's a theme song, and it's still going. And maybe it's winding down. It's kind of winding down now.
You're asking for so many very specifics in these post-op sound effects.
It's a lot of drops. There's a lot of sort of radio-style drops and sound effects.
He did say it was non-lyrical, though, mostly because we have to pay for that.
Right.
Yeah.
And we don't have anybody to do that.
He helped in that small respect. But when you say prank corner, isn't that just your everyday?
I don't consider...
Yeah, what makes this different than a normal... corner.
Here's what's different. I don't prank people every day. I'm not a particularly pranky guy, but I do like pranks. Okay, all right, fine. So what makes it different today is I actually recorded it, and we figured out the logistics of how to do this. So I recorded a few prank calls, and what I want you to do is I want you to tell me when you think the person hangs up on me. Okay.
I'm going to guess right now that in this day and age, not a single person hung up because they want to be so damn good at their job, and whatever you called them about, they want to be able to close that conversation.
That's where you'd be wrong. I was very obnoxious to these people who worked the phones.
Of course you were.
God bless you. I appreciate it. You know what? Actually, I think I brought light to a few of their days. Honestly, I think I gave them some laughs. We'll see.
Are you telling me that anytime you are obnoxious to the point of annoyance, I can just stop the call, hang up? I would like to hang up on this friendship. Is that possible?
I mean, you could try, but I will be calling you back.
There's a stop recording button.
There is a stop recording.
We can stop recording every time we hang out, for starters.
Yeah, you can leave right now.
But then we couldn't monetize our friendship, and we don't want to lose that. All right. Here we go. We're going to roll into the first prank call, and, you know, every once in a while, pause. Feel free to comment. Yeah.
So you know when they hung up.
I was on the call, yes. That's right. That's the whole premise.
Okay, and we won't hear them hang up.
Okay, here, I'll break it down for you. I'm going to pause. I'm going to ask, do you think they hung up? And you can say yes or no. Then I'm going to hit play. And if they hung up, you'll hear it then. Make sense?
I want to hear the call before I guess, though, because I have to guess it based on the terrible things you're saying.
Yeah, but if you hear the call, you're going to know they hung up because you're going to hear it.
Well, then this game is not designed very well. Listen, no. I want to hear the things you say so I know what the odds are that they stay on.
Hey, buddy, Have you slept, at all?
You're going to hear after we guess.
Okay, shut up.
Play the recording back. See, Mike said exactly what I said he said.
Okay, here we go.
Explain
it
again.
You're going to hear, I don't know what's so complicated. You're going to hear some words. In the middle of the words, I'll pause every once in a while.
Yes.
And then I'll say, hey, do you think they hung up? Okay, and you'll say yes or no. And then I'm going to keep it. Playing, and you'll find out.
Okay.
You'll either be right or wrong. You let's still don't do get it. All right, let's do
it. I get it. I get it. Let's give it a shot.
Okay. All right. So here is prank call number one.
Hello?
Hi, there. Is this the spa?
Yeah, this is
the spa. Oh, okay, great. I'm Arnie Blumkis. I just had a couple of questions about coming into the spa today.
This fucking pseudonym.
Now, yeah, what's your question?
Yes, ma'am. Do you happen to have a heat room?
Single room, you wanna?
Do you happen to have, what's it called? You know, one of the rooms where it gets hot.
A sauna.
Oh, the room a fucking you sauna. Want
a steam room. Do you have a steam room?
No, no, no.
Okay. All right. Now.
No, this one.
Oh, okay. I was just wondering. Okay. The entire time I don't know what you say.
I thought she was mentioning the fact that a hot room would be too sweaty. Did she not say sweat too much sweat?
I don't.
I thought she said only single rooms. I'm like, oh, did Mike ask for something that I didn't realize yes. he asked for?
Yeah. She didn't understand what I was saying, and then she said something about a single room. Because it's a massage parlor. But I thought, who knows, maybe they'll have a sauna.
Now, do I have to be nude for the massage?
Yeah.
Okay. okay, that's a little bit of a problem for me, because I'm very self-conscious about a situation on my upper thighs, but...
Do you think she hangs up now?
The upper... No, it's valid. It's a valid concern that somebody calling a massage parlor could have.
Right.
It's just it's in valid. Obnoxious way.
It is an obnoxious way. He's an obnoxious person with an obnoxious voice, but...
You can tell she's annoyed. Whoever this is on the other end is annoyed.
Just to go back to the beginning of the call, I love how she just answered, hello. Like, it was just her personal phone, which right. it probably is.
She probably owns this business and just doesn't give any fucks, right? Okay, we're going to keep playing. Let's see.
You know, I do, I want to get a good massage. I want to be comfortable. Okay, so everybody's nude.
Everybody.
Yeah.
For the massage. Okay, all right, I was just wondering. I was thinking about wearing, like, it's, they're not overalls. It's like a half overall. It's Japanese denim half overalls from Japan.
So what I'm describing is jeans. Japanese half overall denim from Japan. I don't know if she understands what I'm saying.
I didn't understand that.
I know. He's a weird character. Okay. Do you think she hangs up now? Because I'm asking to wear jeans. In the massage, and she's told me I have to be nude.
I don't think she's gonna know that you're saying jeans, but I do think I this lady is gonna hang up eventually.
Okay. She's not having it.
Okay, we'll see.
And it's the only fabric that makes my upper thighs comfortable anymore because of my situation. But okay, but I can be nude. That's fine. All right, that's fine. Now, do you have openings today?
Yeah. Maybe they're open.
Openings. Okay, excellent. Anyway, what was your name?
My name is...
Okay, you've been very helpful today. I think I'd like to book a massage. Let me go ahead and check my piggy bank. And can I pay only in quarters? Do you take...
Do you think she hangs up now?
No. No, because here's the thing. If this is her personal phone, if this is her business that she breaks her back to try and run on a daily basis, she is going to stay on the phone because it is a sale.
You think this lady, she wants a sale. At the end of the day, it's all about money.
She's close.
No matter the cost.
She's close.
She's yeah. close. Okay. Mm-hmm. So we if got one business, she hangs up, one she stays on. Go ahead, Dalton.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay. All right.
Quarters.
Oh, I don't know. How much?
Well, how much is the massage? Because I have $70 in quarters, and I'm looking to unload it, because there's not a coin stud in me anymore. You know?
Oh! Wow.
Okay. All right, well, have a good day.
Okay.
Okay.
70 was never going to be enough.
$70 in quarters? You don't think that would have been enough?
I think the massage is significantly higher than that, and that's why she hung up.
Maybe.
Not even worth explaining to you what the price is.
Right. But she doesn't know. Maybe I just have $70 in quarters that I need to unload, and then I'm going to put the rest on my MasterCard, you know? I just need to get rid of these. There's no Coinstar near me.
I mean, you told her that, and she still had the gall to hang up and leave a man without a Coinstar.
It felt a little rude. Well, that was Prank Call Corner, folks. And now, on to the episode.
Last time on Dungeon Radio Hour.
I don't think they're buying our costumes.
What I'm going to do with it is I'm going to fucking blast these guys with fire. So
yeah. I'm not a fucking goblin. That was a lie.
Fail swoop lobs its head off as it rolls onto the ground. The final goblin archer turns and runs back into the castle. So the only way to go are either back the way you came to Corpheus's tower or into the castle through the open doors. And as you all walk into the chapel itself, you hear the faintest slither. Okay, so last episode, you all made your way to... Oh, no. Last episode, we opened going right into combat as goblin arrows were flying through the air at our group. And before you could even breach the castle itself, you were intercepted by 3 hobgoblins and 4 goblin archers. You took care of that little mini horde very handedly, if I might add. And in the process, you're welcome. And in the process, one of the goblin archers ran back into the castle, so your element of surprise is no longer in play. They definitely know you are coming. You found a storeroom off to the side once you got inside, and you raided it. You found anything and everything that would supply a small army, and you took 50 of each item and put it into Santa's bag of holding that Andrew currently has. And then as 50? You press forward into... Yeah, you took 50 of everything. I checked the transcript when I was making notes today.
Wow. We're idiots. Yeah, you took...
Go ahead. I thought I said 5. No, 5 of everything.
I'm pretty sure you said 50.
I said 50, and I was like, 50 this, 50 that, 50 this. Yep, and then I was like, we'll sell whatever
we don't need. I think Alyssa said 5, but Mike did 50.
Yeah, that sounds about right. For a joke.
Uh-huh. Mike does everything times 10. The amount of a regular person.
I also just want to say, I really thought you were saying that this episode was also starting with arrows being shot at us. And I was like, again?
Oh, no.
again, sir?
No, we're going to start with a different kind of combat.
Oh, good. Oh,
wonderful.
Oh, hooray for me.
If you've looked at the outline, you will see my note. Combat in castle is very heavy. You pressed forward into the castle and you found yourself in a dark hall and you heard slithering from up above in the shadows, and that's where we will pick it up.
Okay. I flick my tongue out and I want to use my tongue to lick the air, but really I'm using my ranger senses to sense the creature nearby.
For sure. Andrew, you, not knowing if this is going to work or not, stick your tongue out and you flick it into the air like a snake trying to pick up a scent on the wind. And for the first time, your ranger senses actually start to tingle. Ooh. Like you're not just making it up. You actually feel something this time.
Oh, shit.
And at first you get the taste, and then you get the smell, and then you get the sight, or you get the hearing, and then you kind of get the sense of this mental image forming in your mind. And with you as a ranger, your favorite enemy is monstrosity, or one of your favorite enemies is monstrosity, and you start to get this serpentine-like figure, scaly and long, about 5 to 7 feet. You don't have a name for it because you've never encountered it before, but you just see this snake-like serpentine figure start to form in your mind's eye.
Guys, be very careful. I don't know what it's called, but I'm gonna call it
Saskatsawa. There's a Saskatsawa slithering ahead. And we need to be really careful because I'm pretty sure it has big old fangs and it can unhinge its jaw and it likes to dissolve bones in its belly. Can I keep saying things it does? Because it's got a sword, it's got a gun, it's got a grenade. You guys want to know please, more facts? What's it called?
Please continue describing this monster that you have no idea what it is, like we are trying to play Who's That Pokemon?
Right.
You just said Saskatchewan with a lisp. That's all you
I
did.
I said Saskatskatskats or something.
No, you didn't.
Listen,
no.
There's a fucking big snake, and I tasted it, I felt it, I saw it, I am it, and we gotta be careful. I don't think it's friendly.
Where is the snake then?
I look up. Can we see the snake?
As you all look up and you look for the top of this hall that you're in, it is so dark that you can't even see, make out any type of description whatsoever. There's just this heavy, inky black darkness that kind of hangs in the top of this hall.
Well, I Hermione it, and I pull out from my purse a compact mirror. and I'm just like, hey guys, you know, I've read Chamber of Secrets like 5 times, you know, maybe don't look it directly in the eye.
Hey, I don't know what this is, but I don't think it's that thing. I
said what it was.
The rules.
It's a sus.
Whatever our attacker is hiding itself behind magical darkness. That's why we can't see through.
Arnold, you're from here. Do basilisks exist?
Say that again without the lisp.
I like it how it was. Do basilisks exist?
They do, yeah. Lady Alyssa, but not.
Putting the mirror closer to my face.
But I don't think that's what we're dealing with. Everybody roll a dexterity check. A dexterity save, I should say.
No. I believe you. I got a nat 1.
Oh, no!
I just lost my dice, which feels worse than a nat 1.
That is even worse. Oh, you're going to step on it later. It?
Right, I got a 16.
It's right there in the green.
Arnold got a 14. Andrew, you got a nat 1.
I got a nat 1.
Buddy.
But favorite enemy. Wait, I do have an advantage on checks against a favorite enemy, right?
Oh, you do. All right.
Okay.
There you go.
But to be a rules lawyer against myself, that's only on survival checks.
I was going to let you have it, but you rules.
And I probably said that rule wrong, and now 2 different groups of people are mad at me. But either way.
But they're mad at you for different reasons.
Nat 1. Okay.
All right, nat 1. Okay, so
I got a nat 20.
That's so beautiful.
I even Andrew out.
So Arnold, Mike, and Alyssa, you watch as you see these. What do I see?
Fangs, claws.
Kind of.
Teeth. Bad.
So Andrew, Mike, and Alyssa, you stand there and you look at Andrew as you watch these tentacles slither down from the murky darkness above, each one of them wrapping themselves around Andrew's arm. And within a matter of seconds, he is yanked up into the magical darkness.
Buddy!
How high up am I?
You're probably 15 feet or so.
Okay, am I just completely grappled and stuck?
Yeah, you're completely grappled, then you feel this painful kind of biting sensation from something sharp in kind of your stomach area as you take 7 points of slashing damage. You then watch as Andrew falls from the ceiling above, landing hard on the stone floor, and you just see this nasty kind of bite mark in his stomach.
This is bad.
I got bit and then I fell.
Yeah.
The 2 things that can kill me best.
Oh my God, you're telling
falling is my kryptonite and getting bitten is my, what's Batman's weakness? Poverty.
I don't know. Oh yeah, that's what it is.
It hurts.
Okay, don't worry. We got you, buddy.
Okay, I think I'm dying though.
Dalton,
don't die.
Can I see magic around this guy?
Give me a Arcana check with advantage because you are a College of Lore bard.
It's a 19.
Bard. College of Lore bard.
22.
Damn.
Cool. So you look up into the inky blackness that is above you, and you don't sense any type of
magic for the creature itself, but you can tell that this like inky darkness is a darkness spell, so it's an evocation spell that has been placed in the ceiling here.
So there's this.
Is it evocation or evocation?
Evocation, I think.
While you were looking up, you once again hear that slithering sound from above. Everybody give me a dexterity save.
Oh my god.
Stop dying, Andrew.
I got a 3.
You got, oh my god.
I got a 14.
I got a 22.
14. You watch again as that tentacle slithers down from the darkness above, wrapping around Andrew's ankle, and then throws him back against the back wall of this hall. Andrew, you take 3 bludgeoning damage from the impact.
Sir Andrew!
Oh, my open wound is even more open now. Oh, God. I twisted my anky.
Not your anky! Okay, I raise my hands to the air, and I try to cast Dispel Magic. And I blow at the darkness.
Cool.
Just light,
cool.
Just, like you're blowing a gnat away
like
from
it's,
your ear.
Like it's a fog, and I'm trying to mist it up.
So, Alyssa, as you stand there looking at the darkness above you, you grab a cloth from wrapped around your waist that's, you know, hanging there on your belt. And much like, you know, someone trying to get the smoke out of a small enclosed room, you're waving that piece of cloth in the air. And as you do, you're going, trying to blow it away. And bit by bit, you watch as these kind of wafts of dark magical air kind of dissipate and leaving the top of this dark hall completely open. And as you look up above, you do see this like slender serpentine like creature with these 4 tentacles that are kind of acting independently, forming around its mouth. And in the center, there's a large pointed beak. And as you look, it shrieks down.
Mike, kill it!
What am I supposed to do, dude?
I'm busy blowing!
I got anky problems, I got wounds. Arnold, Mike, this is all you guys.
All right. Okay, well, first off, here. And I wave my arm in the air, and I just try to concentrate. I'm concentrating on creating a sort of barrier. I'm thinking Sue Storm, Fantastic Four, making a big bubble around us, a bubble of protection. And I concentrate, and I see above me this patchwork start to unfold. Unraveling, 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 more and more and more, in like a giant igloo formation. And we end up and a kind of like dome-ish teepee kind of thing. I'm kind of trying to discover Liaman's tiny hut.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I love
that's
this.
Adorable.
Here's the thing, though. Andrew's not within 10 feet of the 3 of you.
Damn, well, I don't know where he is. Okay.
He just got thrown.
So, Mike, you do this. And Alyssa and Arnold, you both kind of sit there and stare up and wonder as this magical dome of force kind of pops into view, and you can see outside of it. It's kind of translucent. You can still see what's happening. And as you look around outside, that's when you realize Andrew's not under the dome.
Oh. I tried to make it as big as I could, dude.
You forgot Andrew.
I see this dome form around my friends, and it just kind of stops right at my foot. And I just look up at the creature, and I look down at the dome. And can I try to get inside the dome. Am I able to pass through it?
Yeah, Andrew, so you run up and you try to get into the dome.
Hobble on my anky. Oh, fuck.
So, Andrew, you run up and you see this tan kind of energy barrier that all of your friends just disappeared under. And you're trying to go under it. You're trying to hit on it to get in. And it is not budging. There is no movement. And from the inside, you guys just watch as Andrew pounds mercilessly on the outside.
Open
of the
door. Guys, I'm sorry if I pissed you guys off. I didn't mean to get captured and thrown across the room. I didn't hope that didn't offend you guys. Arnold, Alyssa?
It offended me a little, but I'm going to look for the door.
buddy, we're trying to find a door. I don't know how it works. I just made a hut. I'm sorry. I just made a hut. I don't know.
You made a hut. And I love that you can make a hut, but I would like to be inside the hut.
Good job on the hut making hut.
Thank you, babe. I don't know, man. Okay, what if I just, I draw a door with my finger, like chalk stone. I try to chalk stone a door in it.
You take your index finger and you run it across in a archway formation around the shape of Andrew. And you watch as the drawn shape kind of indents into the magical barrier, but then dissipates against its magic, not creating a door.
Michael, I understand that you don't always have control of your magic, but this spell at this moment in time was not the best idea. He is no match against a Grick.
And as Arnold says Grick,
a
large, slender shape drops from the ceiling above onto the dome. The three of you underneath it hear this kind of thud as something heavy falls on top, and you watch as it slithers down closer to Andrew. Andrew, I'm going to let you have a reaction before it comes at you.
Okay, just so the people listening audio style, a Grick is like a fucking, I just looked it up, it's like a snake, giant snake with like a Demogorgon face, but the opening of the Demogorgon mouth are tentacles.
Ugh.
And inside, it's got like a fucking salivating sharp beak, and it's really scary. I look down, I look at my fingies, I feel my bow, and I'm like, "Hi, sir! Do you speak English?"
And it responds with a
I don't think he speaks English, Andrew.
Does that mean no or yes in your language? I don't know. Either way.
And then, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I was going to say, after you say that quip, it will lunge at you unless you wanted to do something
no,
else.
No, have it lunge at me.
Okay.
Unless you got a second quip.
And as you say that line, it lunges forward at you, all four tentacles coming toward you. Back inside the hut, what are the three of you doing?
Let me out.
I don't know how to let anybody out. I just made a hut. I don't know how the hut works. It's a hut.
You gotta just relax. You gotta relax into it and then the magic will go away.
This isn't anal. I can't relax and the magic going away, okay? I don't know how my magic works.
I'm telling you how it works for me, so maybe it'll work for
Mike,
you.
As you're getting more and more worked up, you watch as the wall of force that this hut is made up gets thicker and thicker and thicker.
You're stressing me out!
Release!
I try to, Dalton, I try to physically unclench my butt. I'm breathing. I'm trying to noodle my arms. I'm loosey-goosey. I'm thinking loosey-goosey thoughts. I'm trying to open a door. I'm trying to loose goose.
So as you feel yourself just kind of melt into the stone floor of this dark hall that you're all in, the wall of Leoman's tiny hut gets thinner and thinner and thinner until it's just the faintest whisper of magic before it disappears completely. As the three of you look out, you see Andrew being grappled to the ground, a tentacle on each arm and each leg as its beak, salivating and menacing, gets closer and closer to his throat.
Okay. All right, hey, quick, action plan. What do we do?
The plan? Action!
We attack.
Help! Help!
And I pull two daggers, one from each thigh, and I just go running to stab it.
It makes it sound like you have them in your thigh.
they were stuck inside.
You
for
just
sake,
have
sake
daggers in your thighs.
She ran out of room in her sheath, so she just has been stabbing her thighs and arms.
I imagine that I have sheaths on my thighs and on my ankles. Like
no,
I have
that makes
those
more
like
sense.
Like a garter.
We didn't
like,
think you actually stabbed your thighs.
Oh, I thought you did. But yeah, I quickly pull two from my leg, the sheaths from the leg, and I just go running.
Stab it,
to
babe.
Stab!
Cool. Give me a roll to hit disadvantage with your left hand.
Disadvantage with my right hand. Don't even know what.
Oh, that's right, you weirdo. Disadvantage with your right
feels
hand.
Feels wrong the way you are.
Is this the first time that this has been mentioned on the show? Alyssa's
I think
left-handed,
so.
Everybody.
Alyssa's left-handed. Now you know why she's lesser than the rest of us.
Yeah. Wow. We love left-handers, though.
That and your woman. Sexism.
Okay, right, so the first one was a 15, but the second one was a 6.
Sweet. So you rush forward, and your hand, or the dagger in your left hand, finds its mark as you stab into the back of the Grick, and you kind of pull down. And as you come in with your right hand to make a second blow, it glances off of its stony scales. But you do manage to do some damage.
Ha ha.
That rhymed.
You do manage to do some damage.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah, you do. Good damage, babe.
Mike.
Oh, yeah, yeah. All right, here I go. I'm going to save my best friend. I'm going to save him this way. I look at the Grick, and I say, hey, you can't impale my friend twice. And I swirl my finger in the air, and I'm going, doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. I'm hoping I hypnotize him. Just, I hope that's a thing for me. But I do the finger and I go do the doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. I'm trying to charm the snake, but it's a monster. So what I do is, out of my fingers, shoot a bunch of tiny dots, colored lights, swirling in the air like one of those disco ball kind of things that you'd have in your dorm room or whatever. You know, the ones with the lights around the room. And so it's like a middle school dance. There's lights all over the ceiling, and they're moving in all kinds of crazy ways. And I cast Hypnotic Pattern.
So, Mike, you do so, and you release this barrage of colors that hang and dance there in the air while you do your little song. And as you cast Hypnotic Pattern, you're hoping to charm this Grick away from Andrew. However, in its bloodlust for the small, frail human that it has pinned to the floor, it is too focused on its prey and not paying attention to your lights.
Hold on.
Because
you snuck in an insult in there. What was that?
Oh,
wait a second.
I said the prey that's on the floor that he has.
The small, helpless, shitty prey? What'd you say?
Yeah, something
I don't
like
remember.
That.
I don't remember, but my feelings are hurt, but that's okay. Let's move on. I appreciate it, Mike.
I'm trying my best, man. I made a hut. I made some lights. I don't know what else to do.
You
that's
hypnotized
really all
me,
had.
Dude.
Okay.
Yeah.
Arnold is going to fly through. And he flaps his wings with his mace drawn as it bursts into flames as he gets ready to cast Searing Smite. And as he goes to make his mark and bring his hammer down, the Grick rears back its head, dragging Andrew up into the air with it and causes Arnold to miss. Drats! My apologies, Sir Andrew.
Yeah, that's like the third or fourth time I've flown. I'm over it.
Andrew's not meant to be in the air.
I'll take the train next time. How it hurts.
Oh.
Okay, so, Andrew, you may attempt to get out of this grapple.
Okay, I have a really dramatic moment where I'm grappling with the guy, and, like, I try to get my fingy guns ready, but there's, like, a moment where his tentacle knocks into my hand, and I pretend like my gun got knocked out of my hand. So I go dive on the ground, and I pick up nothing, and I pull back up, and I got my fingy guns drawn, and I want to just blast him right in the beak.
That's great, and you can do that, but you need to try and break the grapple first.
But I said it. Okay. Come on.
So give me a contested strength check.
Okay. 18.
Hey, okay, you can do everything you just described.
Yay! I do that.
All right, cool. So you're able blast. To wriggle free from the Grick's tentacles, and as you reach down to grab your invisible gun, you let loose a firebolt into its mouth, dealing damage as you watch it sear its pointed beak. It is going to retaliate by taking a tail swipe at you. But the fire that it just took to the face essentially has thrown it off of its balance, and its tail misses you, slamming hard into a stone pillar nearby as you watch debris kind of fall from the ceiling. Alyssa, you're up.
Okay, so I've just been spending this whole time yanking my daggers out of him as he's been flailing around and throwing Andrew about. So I pull them out, and I'm like, okay, daggers aren't going to be enough. So I flip them the other way. and I think about it's how it's a snake, and how Medusa with snake hair, how she would charge her victims, and I think about stone, and I stab again, but this time casting the spell meld into stone, but using my grammar's pendant to change it into weld into stone. And I think as I do that, the tips of the daggers turn red hot like a welder. And I just stab it right into one of the tentacles on its face.
Yeah.
Ooh.
God, that was cool.
That was cool. Okay, so I'm going to retcon my dialogue just a little bit. The tail swipe still misses you, Andrew, and it still crashes into the stone pillar, sending debris and rubble down to the ground. But as it goes to pull its tail back, Alyssa, you've simultaneously made your attack as well, and your spell starts to take hold. And as it pulls its tail back, it gets stuck. As you all watch, the stone pillar kind of morph in shape into the tail of the Grick as its stony-like hand starts to reach further and further down its body until finally becoming stone itself.
So it's just completely frozen now?
It's completely frozen now. It is now made of the same material, the same rock that those stone pillars were created from.
Babe!
What did I just do?
You made it a statue!
I go to pull my daggers out, and I'm like, I think I welded this.
Yeah.
I welded them in there.
You're gonna have to lose a couple of daggers, babe.
My daggers!
Your daggers are indeed welded into the grave.
We'll get you some more daggers, Alyssa.
It's okay. Promise. I've got like 7. Okay.
Hey, that's too many. Somebody take some away from her. That's too many. You
have one more in there. Weld another one.
I take another one, the blunt one, and I stab it in. Good measure.
I just want to say, Alyssa, you remember a while back when Rebathsheba said there was a powerful one among us? I'm now convinced that that is you. That was insane. You just turned a giant snake into a rock.
I mean, this old thing, I go to lean on it and I miss. You know, it's all in a day's work, you know?
Yeah, look cool, baby.
I pat it. Yeah.
I'm glad I'm on your team, you know? I feel like I'm slacking here, guys. I feel like I'm not contributing much to the group. It makes me feel self-conscious a little bit.
No, dude, you're doing great. You can shoot things so good, and Alyssa can do spells. The only thing my magic did was make like a planetarium show and a hut that was too thick. It did nothing.
But both of those were so cool. And you know what? Normally a thick hut would be so needed. Like when we were in the swamp, we could have used that.
God, could we ever have used a thick hut?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was it cool in there? It looked pretty cool from the outside. I was really jealous, to be honest.
It was temperate.
Yeah, but you got to be part of Hut Club, you know? You wouldn't get it.
So it was on purpose then?
No. All right. This whole castle, there's some fuckery going on here. We need our wits about us to get out of this alive. I think, Dalton, if I may, I'd like to cast clairvoyance.
Ooh.
I love how you all got updated spell sheets, and now you're just casting spells left.
I'm casting so many spells. I'm not a spellcaster.
It's almost as if we leveled up between the last episode and this one.
It's so weird.
Crazy. And now we're excited.
I put my fingers to my temple like I'm Professor X, and I send a shiny ball of light through the wall into the next room with my brain.
Ooh.
With only my brain.
What is it supposed to do?
I can listen or feel or hear, you know, like whatever's in the next room.
Yes. So you can choose between hearing or seeing what's in the next room. What is your choice?
I choose hearing because there was magical.
Oh, true. Because there was magical darkness.
Don't talk over me. You're talking over me so much today because there was magical darkness. Because there was magical
darkness. You were asking for it.
God damn it. Because there was magical darkness. And I need to know what's in the next room to save our lives. And I'm doing magic for it. Go ahead, Dalton.
Okay, cool. So you send this shining ball of light forward into the next room, and you see... Oh, you don't see anything because all you can do is fucking hear. Because that's what you picked. No. So you send this ball of light into the next room, and you hear the clanking of silverware, the clatters of plates and bowls. You hear the liquid being poured from various things, and you hear the sound of several goblins as they appear to be eating and conversing. It's all, however, in goblin speak, so you don't know what they're saying.
I, since we're out of combat, switch to seeing, which is also an action. You could switch between them.
Okay.
Let me see. How many goblins are in there? I didn't get enough info.
Cool. So you are seeing now that this is a banquet hall. There are four long tables kind of placed in this large room. And at each table, there are about 6 to 8 goblins. And at the head of one of the tables is a very large and rotund goblin that is chowing down on, it looks like, several plates at one time.
So how many total goblins?
Let's say 22.
What? Well, if you're making it up, let's say 7. Why 22? Jesus fucking Christ.
Because I said 4 to 6.
The whole game is made up, to be fair.
At 4 tables. Yeah, and it's all made up. And I'm the boss, so there's 22 fucking goblins.
I thought I could negotiate. Okay, fine.
You can't negotiate shit.
Plus the fat one. It's 23 even.
No, it was including the fat one. Don't try to make it more, dude. It's 22. Fuck. I turn back to everybody else. Hey, guys.
What'd you just do?
Well, you know, I'm discovering a lot of magic today. It's like something big happened recently. And I'm really excited about all the spells that I'm doing. I guess I'm getting better at magic. Because I just made a light ball with my brain. Like a flashlight, right? But it's a little ball, and it can go into the other room through the walls like a ghost, and I can see through it, and I guess I can hear through it. And next time I'm going to try to smell through it, because I don't know exactly how it works, but we're going to see what I can do.
That's so cool. It's like you're coming into your magic.
I'm coming into my magic. I'm a late bloomer, but
yeah.
I feel like this is a magic glow-up, you guys.
This is like your, like, bar mitzvah or something. Like, yeah, you're, man. You're now becoming... a man.
I'm a man.
Magic man.
Magic man. I feel good about this. Oh, fuck. Okay, so here's the pertinent information. There's 22 goblins, including a big fat one. I know. That's a high number. It seems like too much. But there's 22 goblins in the next room, and they're all eating and, like, having a big fucking party or some shit. So it's dinner time for goblins in the next room, so I say let's avoid it or sneak through it if we have to go through it.
That's absolutely smart. I think, while they're distracted, we sneak through. Because I will not be a goblin again in this episode. We promised in the last one that was it.
It was too much.
Stick to it.
We did it too many times, and I don't know if it really worked.
Glorb is put to bed.
Yeah.
For sure.
It's a
knowing bit. That we are supposed to be sneaking through this next section...
Before we move into that,
okay.
You planning on sneaking through the banquet hall?
I was thinking more around.
Well, is there a route around it?
We don't know, like, where to go.
Yeah, I mean, there are two exits to this hall that you're in. One of them just happens to be the banquet hall. But there is another option to go to.
I like the other option.
You know what? I haven't heard about it much yet, but I like it.
I have a feeling that this little ball lasts like an hour or something. So do we want to send the little ball into the other room?
Yes, please.
Are we still going off of sight, or did we switch back to hearing?
I'll switch it to sight. I'll stay on sight.
So you send your ball of light into the other room, which is also an exit to this hall. And the room that you go into is this large kind of chamber. And there is an altar there in the middle with a blood-stained cloth running across it, blood-stained black cloth. There are silver and golden ritual-like instruments that sit on top of the altar. There is a large blood stain on the stone floor underneath the altar itself. And then behind the altar, kind of set up on display, is a large obsidian statue that depicts a spider with the upper half of a woman, kind of like a centaur situation.
No.
But it's...
Oh.
A bottom is the spider and the top half is the lady.
Oh, like the Spider Queen from Doctor Who. That's a nerdy reference,
sure.
Everybody.
Yeah.
But I don't watch it. Doctor Who, so I don't know.
It's a good show. The reboot, anyway. It's a good show.
Yeah, it's a really good show.
All right. Guys, real quick, warning.
Okay.
The other way's not great either. There's a fucking big altar thing covered in blood. Everything's covered in blood. There's like curtains with blood on them. And I don't think anybody's in there from what I can see. Because I can...
Creepy sacrifice room?
It's
or
a
we
creepy
got
sacrifice room.
Goblin room?
Hold on. But, guys, what if... I mean, we know Dalton's here. We know he was important. What if he was important because they needed to sacrifice him? I mean, shouldn't we go in there and just make sure... Like, I can lick all the blood in there, taste all the dead bodies to see if it's him.
Don't lick the blood.
I'll volunteer. I already said it.
We could just look at the bodies.
Andrew, no, I'll lick
you
them.
Don't
okay.
need to lick. Do not lick the blood.
Don't lick
or
it.
The bodies.
Don't lick them.
That's how disease happens.
I'm not
going
to listen to a bird. No offense. And you guys are married, so that's nepotism. So we'll go with what I said. I'm going to lick blood.
That makes
and bones
absolutely
and
no sense.
And trails.
Literally, it's three against one. Just
all right,
don't do
it. I'm not going to try. I'm not going to stop you. I don't care anymore. You lick too many things. You've eaten too much flesh. You've eaten a lot of flesh lately. And that
Dude,
wasn't a thing back in the old world.
None of it counts because we're in a fantasy world and this is only temporary.
It's a real world.
Yeah, but once we leave it, once we get home, it basically, in my mind, erases all the deeds we did in this world and such. So
it's kind of like the morality of like Infinity Pool, like the movie, where they're like, but we're like paying money in this island, so who really cares? Like, we're not going to kill people
like
in our real world.
Like how Christopher Walken might have killed Natalie Wood on that boat, but it doesn't matter because it was international waters.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. let's go into the next room. Remember that? That's an actual thing you might have done. Let's go
into
the next
room. Shit. Okay, so you walk into the next room, and it's very much as I described it to Mike. It's a large, almost kind of a chapel-type area. That's the kind of vibe that you get being from the Midwest, growing up in the church. That's the vibe that you get as you walk into this. Like Mike described, there's an altar in the center covered in a black cloth, which is covered in blood. There are gold and silver ritual instruments kind of scattered about. There's a large pool of blood on the stone floor underneath. And then sitting behind the altar up on this kind of like display is an obsidian statue of a half spider, half woman. Very centaur style.
This is Goblin Church, you guys. We're in Goblin Church. They worship a spider woman. Not like
the side of the cross. The Goblin Cross, which is 8-pointed. So I do it.
I don't think you know anything about this religion, but one thing is for certain, ritual sacrifice happens in this room. And I don't know. Do you think it could have been Dalton? Do you think they would have killed Dalton? I don't think they... He seemed important to them. I don't know if they would have done that.
I go and look around for any clues or signs of what the blood came from. You know, like bits of shirt or bone or something.
I'm freaking out, you guys.
Yeah, so Alyssa, you go up to the large pool of blood that is next to the altar. Give me a medicine check.
Okay. Joke's on you. My medicine is fucking amazing.
Yeah, it is.
19.
Damn! Okay. You look at the pool of blood. It is dried, so this is not fresh, but it hasn't taken on that rust kind of dark brown hue yet. It's still pretty red on the stone. So it's not fresh, but it's not super old either. And it's a very, very dark crimson, like more dark than human blood would be.
Mm.
Huh. And it's kind of like thick.
Ugh. Okay, guys. Actually, this is like a good would you rather question. Like, would you rather deal with fresh blood or dried blood?
Dried blood.
I'm cool with any blood. You want me to get to tasting? Is looking
no, don't taste.
For you, Alyssa? Because I can get my tongue out.
No, it's not even needed. Because look at this. Look at the coloring.
Okay.
I've seen dried blood before. Like this is. This is way too dark to be human blood. Even with the amount that's here, it is way too dark.
I mean, blood from human organs is very dark, like black.
Well, I know it. I know.
If, like, they stabbed Dalton in the liver, it could look like this. So it's a very real possibility that our friend is dead, and we should freak out like it is.
I disagree. Look, as a woman, I'm just telling you that the blood does not look...
Are you saying this is menstruation blood?
I'm not. I'm saying...
Are you saying Dalton menstruated in this
room? I'm saying my knowledge of menstruation helps me identify blood. That's all. Why you gotta make it weird?
I don't know. Okay, listen. Point taken. You don't think it's human blood. Maybe it could be.
It's like way too dark and way too thick to be human blood.
Do you put the sticky side of the pad on the skin or?
Yes.
On the other side.
Yeah, you gotta tape it shut.
That's what I thought. Okay, mm-hmm. I'll ask more questions later, Alyssa.
Yeah.
I think you're right. I trust you. You're the smartest one of the group. You do know blood.
I know blood.
I think you're right. I don't think this is human blood.
What if they sacrifice themselves? I mean, Dalton, we've seen goblin blood before. Does it seem more the consistency of goblin blood?
What if they sacrificed themselves to please their god? And what if Dalton is goblin Jesus?
But that's... that spider thing doesn't look anything like Dalton.
That could be...
Way too many legs.
You know how it's like the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? That's the Holy Spider.
This is like the Virgin Mary.
Or maybe like that's
the
like...
Virgin Mary. Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
As you all are having this conversation, you just hear Arnold go, "That is Loth."
Loth. I knew
that. Virgin Loth.
She is the demon queen of spiders, often worshipped by the drow.
Oh. A demon? A demon as in like... A hellish demon? Those are real here, too?
Did you just say demon queen of spiders?
I did.
That's actually a kick-ass name. I'm not
like
gonna lie.
Like a band name or something? Mm-hmm. But in real life is fucking terrifying. Demon queen of spiders. That's the scariest, like, mm-hmm. string of words you could say. This sounds absolutely terrifying.
Also, what are drow?
You would know them as dark elves. We call them
like
drow.
Like Nesnar.
Nesnar.
Yes.
Okay, so he obviously worships spiders. And they worship Dalton. And the goblins slit their own throats here every Sunday.
Hey.
10:30 a.m.
Guys, okay. Listen. We don't want to stay in this room. Bad things happen in this room. We don't know how long dinner is. The service could end any moment. Let's send the ball of light into the next room and get out of here.
Okay.
We're wasting time. Okay. All right. Go ahead, ball of light, and you can go into the next room, mm-hmm. and I sing my
so
song.
So you this press your...
Light, I'm gonna shine. This little ball of light. What horrors
so
will
press
I find? All right, go ahead,
the
Dalton.
Ball of light further into the next room, and you come into... the remnants of what were probably a tower once before. The outside wall has crumbled down, leading out into the wilderness beyond. The floor is dirty and covered in rubble and straw. The second floor up above you looks like it's been collapsed as well, with the ceiling falling through and also being scattered down. But you do see that this ruined tower is the pathway forward into the next area.
Okay, so we have an exit if things get hairy, and I wouldn't begrudge any of us if we decided to leave right now. Like, things are getting scary. There's a demon queen of spiders or whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
There's goblins in the next room.
Yeah.
Good things don't await us.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. My question is, I mean, what's even past the banquet hall? A dead end? Why do we even need to go in there?
Yeah, this seems dumb and pointless and dumb. I think this way is the best way.
Yeah, it's dumb. Yeah, it sounds dumb, but it could be really cool. Should we send the ball of light through the banquet hall and just see what's beyond, just to know our options?
All right, I put the ball of light in my hand. I rear back, like Goofy about to throw a pitch. My arms go, spin. Whew! And I throw it past the goblin.
I thought you were going to say that Goofy doing the perfect cast.
Different reference.
Different reference.
Okay. But I pitch the ball of light past the banquet hall to see what's over there.
Okay, cool. Give me... Give me an Arcana check. Okay.
Yeah. Like 15.
Now give me an Athletics check.
No, they're not going to be so good. Oh, 16, actually. All right, let's see. Oh, shit.
Hey.
Ooh, hey. 21 modified.
Cool, okay. So just as described, you wind up your arm like some cartoon character, and you launch your ball of light, and it flies through the goblin sanctuary, through the dark hall where you have turned the Grick into a statue, through the banquet hall, and starts heading into the next room beyond. And you find another tower. This one is intact. The floor above leads up to the second level. The crates are neatly stacked. None are broken. And you see a large shape kind of hunkered down, laying on the ground over towards the corner. But as it starts to focus in on what this large shape is, your clairvoyant spell starts to dim before it goes out completely.
Okay. Fuck! Guys.
What's up, buddy?
The little
You're
ball.
Saying expletives.
I'm sorry.
What'd your golden eyeball see?
The little ball of light died or something. I can't see nothing no more.
Dude, I'm sorry. You just got it. What happened, man?
I don't know. My magic is tired or something. Anyway, I saw inside the tower. Okay, there's a tower. Oh. Another one. If we went past the banquet hall, there's a tower. And it's not all busted up like this one. And there's crates. But there's something huge in there. Like Fluffy from Harry Potter 1 huge in there. But I couldn't see what it was. It was like dying.
My
magic was dying.
It could have been a wardrobe or something. Yeah.
It was beastly shaped.
A big beanbag?
I guess it could be a beanbag, but just judging on the demon spider woman and the goblins, it's something scary that's over there.
Yeah. I mean, I don't necessarily want to go that way if there's something scary, but, you know, you only put something that scary if you're guarding something important.
Fuck, you're right. Big risks, big rewards. But how are we going to get past the... does anybody know invisibility or...
I consult my little cheat sheet that my god gave me. Scroll through my spells. it's called Clerics for Dummies.
Okay, listen.
Clerics for Dummies.
Guys... I don't know. I feel a rumbling in my tumbling. You know what I'm saying?
What?
You're Winnie the Pooh?
I don't know what the fuck you're saying.
I know we need to be quiet. I don't know how we're going to get by unseen. I haven't really thought the plan through, but I know we need to be quiet. And so I extend my hands and I want to discover the spell Silence. Not quite knowing how it works. And I want to cast a dome of silence around my friends.
Okay, cool. Let me look at it really quick.
Well, but don't Andrew, because it's a 20-foot radius centered on a point you choose. What if the point is on us?
Yeah, I touch my finger to my lips and I go shh, and I make the point on my face.
Nice.
So, Andrew, you go to raise your finger up to your lips, and you do your shh. Mike, Alyssa, and Andrew, you watch as you can almost see the sound that Andrew's shh is making, and it echoes and it reverberates as it gets louder and louder and louder, forming this kind of bubble around all four of you. And just as it's about to crescendo, everything goes silent.
I can't hear you guys. Andrew, it looks like you're talking.
Alyssa, it looks like you're talking. Are you saying something or are you just moving your mouth? It's kind of weird.
Andrew, I think your spell worked. I can't hear you.
Are you guys talking?
No, Mike's doing it. It's like, is this like a TikTok thing I didn't know about?
This is absolutely ridiculous. The point of silence is on us. No one can hear what anyone is saying. Mike, stop shouting.
Even Arnold, I can't even hear the things he's saying.
Arnold looks so angry. What an angry
guys, I think maybe we should
move. Anybody hear me?
No one can hear anyone.
Hello, 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 hello.
I start doing like hand gestures.
I put my finger in my mouth. And I put my finger in my cheek and I go to break the spell.
And well, Andrew, you do so. You run your finger through your cheek as you make an audible pop, and you watch as if a bubble has been bursted as the sound just dissipates away from all of you and everything comes rushing back.
I said, are you guys talking?
I am kidding. Oh,
shit.
Okay.
Shit.
Okay.
Sorry.
Guys,
sorry.
Remember the library? Do you remember the library with the lights?
Yeah, I have library lips, dude.
You got library lips.
Make a bubble of silence, but it's silence for us, too.
Dude, those are powerful library lips, and I think that this could be useful. Nobody can hear us.
But we can't hear each other.
But that's okay, because if we just figure out a plan now, and, you know, we can use hand signals. We're great at space work. Mimery. Mm-hmm. We've mimed.
True. We got that.
We're theater kids. So here's what I'm thinking. Maybe we silence ourselves. And we create as distraction, right? They can still see us, but not if they're looking at something else. So how can we distract them in the next room?
Dude, your good old buddy, Archibald.
Archibald.
Oh, yeah. Archibald.
Oh, my God. I start rubbing my hands together.
We could do a tap dance of some sort, put on a real song and dance. We sneak by. As soon as they're distracted, I'll cast the spell. We'll pass through. I'll pop it.
I don't know if he's a confident dancer, but I guess we could see. It really doesn't matter what he does, I think. I mean, the point is, a guy's in there all of a sudden. That's going to freak him out, and maybe they'll all center around the guy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. And he's ethereal. He's going to freak him out a little bit. You know, they're going to try to hit him. They can't.
Yeah, made of wispy energy and shit. Yeah, I think it could work. Okay. How do I do this again? I extend my fingers, and I remember that I got to twinkle my fingies. And I'm imagining, once again, a butler. And he's made of energy. And he's this little blue guy, and he looks like the Monopoly Man. And I'm like, all right, Archibald, it's time to fucking dance in the next room or something. And I twinkle my fingers, and I send him into the next room. And he's like, oh, thank you, sir. It's been so long since we've seen each other. I do miss you so. And then he's like floating into the next room. I love you, you little dude. You're a father surrogate to me, I remember.
So as you send Archibald into the banquet hall, all you start to hear is panic almost. As you hear this, like, the goblins start to scream and shout. And it's nothing but pandemonium on the other side. And you peek your head in and you just see all of the goblins with swords and bows raised chasing Archibald around the banquet hall.
This sounds like a proper cup of chaos.
Okay, don't do the action.
Okay.
Guys, I know we said we were not going to be goblins anymore. I agree. But this is an audio medium. We won't make the goblin noises, but we have to at least look like them. We got to be silent. We're going to walk by. We'll take off the costumes once and for all.
We're silent goblins.
Silent.
Let's just try silent to blend goblins. In when we're in there.
All right, Andrew.
I don my entrails.
I crouch down low.
What am I supposed to do?
Duck.
No amount of goblin intestines will make me look like a small green humanoid.
We'll push you along like you're the next sacrifice or prisoner or something.
How about this?
Yes.
No. Too distracting. Won't work. We've tried to do that before. People catch on to that kind of thing. I'll minor illusion you into a goblin. And shitang! My classic minor illusion sound.
You minor illusion onto Arnold. And once again, I'm going to bend the rules for this just a little bit. But you watch as Arnold becomes a 6'5" goblin. The wings are still physically there. Like, you can still see the shape of them, but it looks like this tall goblin has this awkward hunchback that is protruding from their shoulder blades.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, you look wrong.
Just crouch down low, and we'll be quiet, and hopefully they won't notice us.
We'll crouch down super low.
I hunch down in the middle of you guys, and I go, okay, before I do this, does anyone have any fun facts or any trivia they want to share with the group?
I love you guys, first off. No matter what happens,
we love you too.
And also, little cat Tobians, Smell like Fritos.
What?
Oh my god, dude. I have never smelled a cat foot.
I thought you said little cat Tobians.
Like Tobians.
I also thought you said cat Tobians. I'm like, what the fuck is that?
Little cat Tobians.
What is smell a cat Tobian? Like it still sounds like cat Tobian.
I don't know, man.
Did you know that the reason why actually like all pets with pads on their feet, their feet can smell like Fritos, but do you know why? It's a yeast infection.
Really?
Ew.
Yeah. Hmm. That smell is coming from a yeast infection.
I thought they were just like getting into my Fritos at night or something.
Yeah, that was my understanding. Sorry.
But they got beasties.
I like to smell my dog's paws. They do smell like corn chips as well, and it's a nice smell. Yeah. You know,
but you got to rub Vagisil on them or something because it's like a problem. Okay.
All right.
Well, time to be goblins.
All right. Well, guys. Talk to you later. And I lift my finger to my lips. I crouch down and
the further and further our heroes delve into Neznar's castle, the more and more dangerous it becomes. Will they survive long enough to find their friend? Find out next time when our new episode drops on October 17th. In the meantime, we want to give a special shout out to our newest patron, Genevieve. You're an amazing human being, and we are so excited to welcome you to the Patreon family. If you want a special shout out like this one, then consider becoming a patron yourself by heading to www.patreon.com/dungeonradiohour. Until next time, keep the volume up, the dial tuned in, and always say yes to adventure. Bye for now, kids. Forming around its mouth, and in the center, there's a large pointed beak. And as you look, it shrieks down. We'll put it in post. That wasn't a great shriek.
I loved it.
pretty good.
I liked it. Yeah. Mike, kill it.
Hey, Game Masters.
Are you sick of cliche stories that leave your players falling asleep?
Do you suffer from low engagement at your gaming table?
Do you struggle with creating interesting plots and engaging NPCs?
Do your players laugh at your tiny dice rolls?
Well, we can't help you with that one. But we can help you level up your gaming. I'm Aaron.
And I'm Josh.
We discuss the topics that matter the most when you're being a GM.
Be that better map design, telling gripping mysteries, or just not killing off your players in an adversarial way. I mean, yeah.
Join us at Level Up Your Gaming, a tabletop RPG podcast, every Thursday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere you get your podcasts.